Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Drinking Bros is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Keep hackers and the government out of your business by protecting your internet data at expressvpn.com/drinkingbros today.
Man, it is rare where one of your beef fries stops by and says, "Hey, man, what are you guys doing?" We're drinking. You want to come on and do the show? Ray Cash Care is back again, kids. There he is.
I think he was actually down here for a court thing.
Hello.
Were you down here for a court case?
Public exposure. indecent exposure, something like that, probably.
I'm wearing pants this time.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Last time you were on the show, dude, you hung more brains than Einstein, and it was erotic.
Yeah.
It was sexy.
Yeah.
I was educational. I learned a lot about myself.
Calls. There was a lady you know has been hitting me up, asking me. Jess has been saying, "Hey." I'm kidding. No, it was good. It was good times. I did get a few few fans from that asking me if I would do any more nude shots, and I said, you know, hey, we'll see.
You also got a sponsorship call out of that.
So I did.
Our sponsor, manscaped.com, promo code Drinking Bros, will get you 15% off on that kit. Was like, hey, dude, the guy who shaved his pubes off on air, does he have a podcast? And I said, yeah, he does.
I do, the Overcome and Conquer show. And the thing, I reached out to Manscaped, and I told him that I'm a diva.
Yep.
And they need to understand a few things about me. And right now, we're in the works of making a solid gold trimmer.
Oh, boy. I would imagine like Saddam Hussein probably had that.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of Saddam's places back in my old life. And yeah, he had some cool stuff.
Dan said it was all gold.
He likes gold and blood. He's an idiot, man. He had a Quran transcribed in blood.
Did you ever see the whorehouse he had in Missoula where you go in and there's all the rooms? You would walk in. There was one entrance and there were different... just like doorways that were open, and it was like 12 of them. And he would pick whatever he was into, because, you know, over there it's kind of weird, guy, girl, whatever you're into. And he would pick what he wanted. His sons used it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, that's where we actually ended up taking over. And we were like, if we're going to stay somewhere, let's stay in a Saddam's whorehouse.
Well, you may want to bring some Clorox into that bitch.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, were they swapping? Like, what was his whole sitch over there? Like, him and the sons fucking... like other people, like together in the same rooms. Like
I think it was just a free for all. They did whatever they wanted, man. I mean, they did some sick shit. And I mean, I'm a freak, but they did some weird stuff back then.
Was it just to do it? Because that's what
I he kind of fancied himself as Alexander the Great, to be honest. So I think that old Roman.
He got off by dominating it, taking things by force, whether they wanted it or not. You know, that's kind of, that was just his mindset. But you know, hey, everybody gets their own. So hey, you know.
Yeah, more power to him, I guess. I mean, shit, if you're that... because he, like, I look at that on the celebrity side, right?
Yeah.
When you get that rich, you become out of touch because you can fucking do anything you want, and it's just kind of like, eh. Like, watching the Michael Jordan doc, The Last Dance, I was like, that guy, there wasn't one thing that guy couldn't do if he just... he could call a president, he could get on a jet, he could literally fuck anyone he wanted to, he could do anything he wanted to at any time. I wonder if there's just a point in life where you get bored and you're just like, well... there's a fucking goat.
Well, I'm climbing up the ladder. I mean, I can fuck a goat if I want. And I called you guys and said, can I come back on? You said, yeah. So I'm climbing. I mean, I don't know if I can call the president yet, but I can call Drinking Bros and say, hey, I'm in town.
So you're saying if we were out of town today, you would have been fucking a goat?
Maybe.
Instead?
Maybe. You put it past me?
No.
No, not at all.
If it made you uncomfortable, I would. I would. Well, I don't want to say that because you guys will get a goat. I ain't doing that.
It's easy for us to get a goat up in this bitch. Real quick.
My goal was to make you uncomfortable.
I think Jared actually has a couple of goats.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or he's at least in the market for some.
I'm sure. I think he's got three miniature donkeys, I believe, on what is it? There's a waiting list for it, is what it is. So he's on the waiting list for those.
Shetland pony. I mean, I'm game for anything.
I know you're down. Like, you're the first guy I'm calling if it's like, hey, you and one of your buddies has to fuck a Shetland pony and actually achieve an orgasm.
I'd do it.
Yeah, you're the guy.
I'm the guy.
Like, I believe in you that you could achieve it.
And the whole time...
I don't know if you could.
All I would want, I would do that for you as long, I'm going to say it one more time, as long...
sure.
...as you would make eye contact with me the whole time.
Yeah, I'd do that. Just to... like, I want to know about the mechanics of everything. Do you need to... are you going in the ass or the vagina?
I don't know. We play by ear.
Does it make you gay if the horse is male?
I'd say yes. I don't know, but I'll roll with it.
Oh, that's
came out of the gate and detoured right off the fucking bat.
It's one of those five o'clock shows. We're drinking, obviously, really going for it.
Cheers.
Cheers to you as well. Man, if it's a male horse, I would say yes, because you're going to see that dick and you're going to feel it. Going back and forth at some point.
And what if the horse comes while you're fucking? Yeah, what if the horse comes while you're banging it?
Then what happens?
I don't know. I didn't think this through. We need to regroup. Can we rewind this?
We're live right now.
Dan's favorite show is Yellowstone, so you got me hooked on Yellowstone, okay. Right? And I'm going back through it, and I feel fortunate for that because I hadn't seen it before.
Yeah.
One of the scenes, I just started season two right now. One of the scenes where one of the cowboys has it looks like a metal jack-off machine for the horse.
It's a sleeve that catches the semen, and then there's an electro-ejaculator.
I did not know that was a thing. Could you explain it to me? Because when they held it up, I was like...
it's like you put a sleeve on their dick, right, to catch the cum, and then you fucking put a thing in their asshole and shock their prostate. It makes them cum.
Holy shit.
So you know where my follow-up question is going to be.
Yeah.
Do they make that for humans?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. With our, you know...
you guys got more clout. I guess you'd have to make that call.
Yeah.
I think that would be
I can make that call. I didn't know about the electrode and the anus thing.
How did you know that?
Yeah. All I kept thinking was
because
when I saw
anybody
the
that's ever paid attention to how cows and horses are bred would know that. I just barely paid a little bit of attention, so don't act like I fucking researched this shit.
Never at one point in my life have I researched anything to how
he's getting defensive too. I've noticed that
how horses get inseminated or jacked off.
So thoroughbred horses, race horses, they only let them mate naturally.
Okay.
They don't do. I don't know why. I think it's some old wives' tale. Like part of it is the alpha part of them fucking.
Well, they do pay a gajillion dollars for the ones that like win a Derby or Belmont Stakes or Preakness.
I don't know what the highest stud fee ever is, but I think it's in the millions.
Oh yeah, yeah. I want to say 30. I forget. I think it was one of the triple house triple crown horses. Yeah, you're in it.
I'm in it to win it.
Babe. Yeah, yeah. You do it in a second, but I think it's somewhere close to 30. And then
the horse was making $12.5 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just fucking.
But the other one is, look up the ones that who've made the most. There's a horse that has had the most like fucking success with their sperm
breeding.
And I want to say it was like 127 horses.
You need to figure out
like
the difference between how much the horse makes in a year and then like someone at the top of their game, a Ron Jeremy or Peter North made in their year, like their best year, the best male porn star.
Not a lot.
No, I don't think they make a lot.
You don't make a lot of money at all in porn. At all.
It's amazing. You know about horses and you know the average salary about porn. I mean, I love porn, but I don't know what they make.
$2,500 a scene. So
is that for someone good?
Yeah, that's for someone good. And if you're doing gay porn, it's more. Really? Yeah, you get more. But then as you start to work your way up, if you become a name like a Peter North, then you work your way up to $8,500 somewhere.
Would they
get
sponsors?
10 gay. Now, it's a different ball game.
Yeah.
Back then, it was just... You know,
you just fucked
a VCR tape,
which
you could have royalties on that, or DVDs or shit like that. They never game under the porn stars.
I mean, are they making seven figures? The top guys,
yes. So the top girls are
top girls. Yeah,
we had who do we have on the show in LA? That girl, Tiana Trump.
Yeah, Tiana Trump. Yeah,
and she had just gotten signed to a contract. And she said it was six figures.
Okay,
so her and all the girls at Vixen were making six figures, but I want to say it was pretty exclusive. Like there was 12 of them.
Yeah.
12 or 15 of them. And that's a decent salary. Riley Reed was there. There was a bunch of them over there. Mm-hmm. And they kept them like thoroughbreds where it was just like, hey man, let's keep the top talent. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it in house and then go around the horn with these. It is. But with the dudes, I don't know that there's that much of an attraction for women to show up for the same dude over and over again.
Yeah.
And when there is, we have them on the show. So Tiffany Hart, obviously the co-host of Drinking Broettes podcast. Did you tape an episode of that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, they're great.
Phenomenal.
You're great. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed to their show.
You guys are like shit compared to them.
They're fucking fantastic.
But it's because they have two co-hosts that work together, not just one awesome co-host and...
A piece of shit.
Piece of shit that won't make eye contact or won't shave my ass and...
Yeah, you would not shave his ass today. He asked before he came on the show.
I'm wearing my shorty shorts, my silkies, and I was like, "Will you shave my ass?" And he's like, "Absolutely not.
We can't get it's. We're live. We can't do that."
Okay. Okay. Although you would,
we'll do a rain.
You
check.
Would rain no, check. But with Tiffany, by the way,
yeah.
Her, I asked her one time, like jokingly, on one of the shows. I was like, "Who's your favorite male porn star?" And she had an answer like this. She goes, "Oh, it's Small Hands." I was like, "Huh?" Like I
don't know who that is either.
Me neither. So, ironically, maybe 2 months later after that show, we're in Vegas, and a buddy of mine's like, hey, I'd like to get some of my clients on the show and some guests or whatever. I was like, great, who you got? And he's like, man, I got this male porn star. He's up for, like, Porn Star of the Year or whatever. He's like, his name is Small Hands. And I was like, you don't fucking
that's
say.
That's a calling from above.
That's what I thought. Very Jesus-like.
Was he cool?
Great. It was a fantastic guest. And it was one of our favorite shows. Like the dude answered everything. It was super fucking cool.
He's interesting, but he's a liar.
You think so?
Of course he is. Like he like we asked him because Roman ED is one of our sponsors and getroman.com and
/ Drinker Bros. Yeah.
He's like we always ask the guys, like, hey, are you taking fucking boner pills on set or whatever? Because of course they are.
Yeah, of course.
I just want to know what their concoction is. What's your magic fucking potion there? He's like, oh no, I've never really had to take it. Like, come on, man. We're not in a locker room somewhere. This is a show. You can talk about it. It's 2020.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
What Small Hands? Why do they?
Because he has small hands.
He went
to a porn, like his wife was in porn, mm-hmm. right, already, or his partner. I don't know if they were married yet or not. But his wife was in porn, and she had been trying to talk him into getting into it. He's like, fine, fuck it, I'll do it. Shows up to a shoot one day, doesn't have a name registered with whatever their version of SAG would be. Yeah. And so he's like, well, you got to have a name. We need a name for the thing. So he writes small hands on there as a joke. Didn't think it would ever show up anywhere. And then
voila. Poster comes out, and it's starring small hands.
Big guy, little guy, well endowed. What's the...
He's a little dude.
Little dude.
5'8",
yeah,
5'9".
Yeah, decent-sized cock. And,
anything like mine?
What's that?
Anything like mine?
It's better than yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a professional dick.
I mean,
yeah. No, it's a professional dick. You know what I'm saying? It would be like if him saying, hey, could he have been a Navy SEAL? And he says, yeah, I probably could have been. You know?
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, you couldn't have.
Yeah, but you can't get surgery to make yourself a Navy SEAL.
No, you cannot.
You can get surgery to get a bigger dick. What are you laughing at, dickhead?
Can you?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anybody with penile injections before?
I don't know. Kirill was giving one away recently on his show.
He was. I would.
This,
I'd be
it's the same doctor
see...
in Miami, I think, that does all of his breast augmentation giveaways.
Ah,
I've seen.
I want to see the before and after
ass implants. I've never seen.
Yeah, I've seen calf and ass. I haven't seen cock, and I want to see a before and after.
I'd want to touch it. Yeah. I don't touch.
Yeah.
I mean, but like.
Yeah.
Like.
Handle it, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine and his. Like,
the same way
the
you would put a fucking pair of pants on before you fucking walked out of the store.
Yeah, you want exactly. I mean, what's the difference? What am I paying for? I mean, are you getting a bigger? What do they do with it? Do they make it the size you want?
Bigger and thicker.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like longer and thicker, rather.
It's tough because when you get circumcised, are you guys circed up?
Yes.
I'm double circed, yeah.
Yeah, I'm circed as well. There's a different color skin
relax.
There. It's a pink skin, right?
Yep.
Where that circ happened. And then the rest of it's normal color. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what that third color would be, because they're not going to give you the same color skin when you get it extended, right?
No, it doesn't. It's not
just
like
ask you what your favorite. It's not color
like they
is.
Cut. It's not like they cut your dick in half and put a fucking pre-made dick in there, you stupid bitch.
What do they do?
Like, why would it be that? They fucking they. It's tissue that allows more capillary blood to flow through. That's what makes it fatter and longer. That's what it's capillaries. And
so
your
it's only bigger when you're hard. It doesn't just like hang.
I don't know about, but I assume it would be. It would have to be.
I want like
more
a Buick just hanging. Like
yeah.
Summer sausage, you know, just meh.
Well, a guy like you who loves to take dick pics
yeah.
and is like very skilled in puppetry of the penis.
Thank you.
You've got to have something beautiful to work with. Some piece of, you know, because if it makes it uglier, I don't think I would want that, you know. If
I was a smaller guy. I use shading and lighting to make it look bigger. I try to, you know, like. Right now,
force perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying
put your dick at the end of a hallway or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or like I put it beside something that looks like another dick, but it's really just like a pretzel.
There's a bunch of Coke cans in his house, but they're the small ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like but, this isn't going to do. Have these removed. Have your people remove this. Give me a smaller fucking can.
Everything in his house is really tiny. Chairs, TVs,
his dick's
everything.
Like just knocking
his dick
stuff
is
off
everywhere.
The table like a cat's tail.
And funny enough, Trish has very small hands, like very tiny hands.
Probably the only reason you're married.
That's him. The only reason I'm married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could like your hands.
Yeah,
it would literally look like this. It looked like my pinky in your hand. Look how big your hands are.
Imagine like Andre the Giant and those guys. You remember those pictures of him holding a normal size can of like Coors Light?
Yeah. Did anybody ever see Andre the Giant's dick?
No.
By the way, I've got a question for everybody. So Bigfoot, right?
Bigfoot. Yes.
Bigfoot. Bigfoot's a thing. Not. Yeah. It's not a real thing, but it's a thing people talk about. Is what I mean.
Could be.
Is Bigfoot's dick, does it look like a human's dick or is it like a dog dick?
Dog dick. It's not a human dick.
I thought it would just be like a giant hairy cock.
No. That's what I picture. Like, but dog dick, not a human dick.
But dog dick,
hair, talking about
dog. Dog dick is just a little dog yes. dick is just a little nub with a fucking red rocket that fucking spins out.
I think he just have like a big
floppy,
drooping, but it's covered in hair. Like
yes,
and the reason why it's covered in hair, if he goes to battle, it looks like it's part of him.
Yes,
versus like your tail.
Mm-hmm.
Versus just if it was shaved, I'm going in for the kill. I'm going for the bald spot.
Right.
I would want like if you had a. If you cut a piece of your hair out on your face, I would think something's wrong, and I'd go for that. So I would want to not touch it.
Yeah.
Like that.
So you say that he's got a normal big dick, but it's covered completely in hair.
Covered in hair completely. Yep. You can't tell if he's even got balls or not. Just it looks like it would be like this giant glass covered in hair.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is it weird that we had the same exact like that is the dead on same exact thought that I had in my mind where like to a T.
I kind of pictured him with the big black guy's dick. The new meme. I can't remember the guy's name, but whatever that is.
Barry. There's a tribute page called Barry's Tribute Page for that guy. It's the best. It's every single meme of that of the black guy that's been going around.
Yeah, when I went on the girls, they showed me that they were
the
like
thunderstorm.
The thunderstorm. Yes, because the storm's coming. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna hang out here. You know, I asked the guys if I could come on. They said, great. They were like, look, this is how the storm looks. So I looked at it once, and I'm like, yeah. She's like, look at it again. So literally, she has it smashed up against my face. And next thing I know, there's like this giant penis touching my face. And I was like, oh, you got me. So.
Well, that's not the first time that's happened.
Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. The weird thing about 2020 with that fucking guy is last night I posted a picture of Michael Jordan hitting the game-winning shot at the end of The Last Dance.
I saw that.
And I said, this was the best documentary and I loved it and blah, blah, blah. There's so many comments underneath that Instagram post that just say, hey, man, I stared at this for an hour trying to find the black guy with the dick. And I was like, oh, you can't post a crowd shot anymore.
No, you can't.
Without people thinking the black guy with his dick is going to be
you
in there.
You can't post anything anymore without like
him being there.
Exactly. Because it's insane.
Yeah, I that's going to be my Christmas photo.
I'm surprised
year.
You should have that in the background.
like him? Whatever, it's like one him. Of those things like Tiger King where it came on so fast that I was kind of over it after maybe 3 weeks.
And he's not alive now, is he?
No, we tried to get him on the show. Yeah.
Who, Joe Exotic? He's alive.
Well, no, Joe Exotic's alive.
Giant black guy.
Oh, no, he's not. Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah, diabetes, 2011. I think. Yeah, something like that. Or heart disease. It was something weird.
Yeah,
but my thing is people that are making money right now, because I know there's a guy that said, hey, man, do you want to buy a coin? And I was like, no. And then it's funny because I was like, hey, I appreciate it. Where are you getting these coins from? And he's like, well, who's this? And I'm DMing him. I'm like, well, this is Ray Care. And he's like, oh, my bad, dude. I'll send you a coin for free. I'm like, no. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, how are you associated with the giant black cock guy?
Yeah.
And he's a firefighter that's a fan of the show. And he's going to make a very special version of that coin for all of us.
Challenge coin. With
yes.
With the black guy on it, yeah.
Yeah. But I asked him if I could get one. And, you know, and he was like this and that. Then, but then when I told him who I was and who I knew, he was like, dude, I'll send you one for free.
Yeah, he's a good dude, yeah. He's going to make some. I'm talking through him through email. We're going to get some with the Drinking Bros logo on it, and it's got the black cock guy on the other side.
I think you should make a coin with me going. Dude, that was epic.
A lot of people talking about your pubes.
I literally got blown up. I mean, I had people all over the planet. People writing Spanish. We know how you can hit the translation, and it was like, that was awesome when you blew your pubes in his face.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine for me.
I just want to make sure that I'm getting higher ratings than Burt Koontz.
Boy, it's tough, man. I'd say you guys are neck and neck. People love the Burt Koontz. They love the Burt Koontz a lot, man.
He doesn't have a personality.
I loved you guys together, too.
I want to see you guys have a kissing contest.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys,
whoever stops making out first.
No one has ever seen this, and I deleted it, and I wish I could find it. But when we did the selection, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Burt ever showed you this, but Burt and I were drinking coffee, right? And there was one of the candidates who actually won, the young kid. And I said, okay. Bert's right here, you know, and with his personality, I said, okay, choose wisely. There's two cups of coffee. One's black, mean and nasty, and the other one has four equals in it, sugar-free, whipped cream, and blah, blah, blah. Who's drinking what coffee, right? And a kid, he's looking at Bert, and he's looking at me because he's scared shitless, and he's going back and forth, and all you hear Bert say, he doesn't say a word, he goes, you better choose real fucking careful. That's all Bert said. And the kid looks down, and like he won't even make eye contact with us, and he goes, the black coffee's instructor Burt's, right? So, okay. So it goes on for a second. The kid's standing there. I don't let him go yet. So then Burt goes, and they don't know who's who in the show. And they go, and Burt goes, okay, enough. Who is the former Navy SEAL and who is, because he doesn't say former SF, he just says, and who was the SF operator? Mm. And he looks right at me, goes, Instructor Kerr was the Navy SEAL, and Burt goes, that's right, we're done. And I literally go, fuck you, I like foo-foo coffee. And we did that on Vimeo or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Vimeo,
thank you. But I lost it. I wanted to post it. But it is literally, that sums up Burt and I's whole relationship. You know, just, he says very little and demands respect. I'm a village idiot. But it works, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's
if
a great
thing. Yeah, it's a lot like Clint Eastwood and some gay dude.
Am I Clint Eastwood?
You're not Clint Eastwood in that analogy.
I think if you put Burt and I in the same room, one or two things is going to happen. We're either going to make out hard or we're going to fight. And I'm probably going to go with B because Burt has been jealous of me since the day he met me. He's getting in shape. We just talked. He's getting in shape. He's doing challenges. He's doing podcasts. He is literally, I told you, he called me the other night, like withdrawals. I miss you. I need you. I'm like, I know, man. Hopefully we'll get you on Drinking Bros.
You know that footprints in the sand thing?
Yeah.
It was then that I carried you. You should send him a fucking picture of you with him on your shoulders.
And it was then that you carried him.
Yeah, it's
and,
1 foot.
It was then that I carried you.
I mean, I give him lessons. I teach him about coffee. I teach him about raising bison. You name it, I do it.
I'm sorry. Where's your bison expertise from?
I'm smart.
Everyone in the audience knows that's not true. So let's go to the next.
I had a pony growing up, and I know all about farming.
A lot of people ask that question. What? Are you guys best friends in real life?
No.
Okay.
No, I actually to this day don't even think Bert really likes me. He tolerates me. No, on a serious note, I have nothing but the utmost respect. Bert is the guy that I go to when I have a serious question about things that I'm iffy about. Like, because he just, it doesn't matter. Like, one, if he returns your call or picks up the phone, which he doesn't. But when he does, he just gives it to you fucking straight. That's what I like about him. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. And that's what I need sometimes. You know, I don't want people telling me what I want to hear. Just, I mean, I've asked him things before and that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard, right? You're stupid. Don't do that. Okay. And then there's been other things where, you know, when I did the shift in jobs, mm-hmm. Bert was like, dude, you know, he knows Trish. He knows my family. He's like, he literally chewed my ass. You got to stop doing this shit. You got to stop deploying overseas. You're killing your marriage. You're not being the father you need to be. You know, you need to be doing this and this and this. And then when I fucking, as soon as I found out that I took the leap of faith in January, he was the first person I called and said, hey brother, I took your advice, I'm doing this. And he just wrote, you know, he doesn't call, he just wrote, proud of you buddy. That was it, nothing else. And I maybe talked to him twice since then. You know, we talk every couple months. He's so busy.
Yeah, look, you are too, man. You're everywhere.
Yeah, but I'm a personable person. Bert, like the role that he portrays, that's him. He's a dick. I mean, he's got a heart of gold.
Is it?
But like, you know, the shirt, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. I literally, if I had a nickel for every
fucking
time.
Oh, is that the one Tyler got made?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
He doesn't. I mean, now if you're Tyler or you're Drinking Bros or you're Evan Heffer or you're Matt Best or you're fucking Tim Kennedy or you're pretty much everybody else except a fucking Navy SEAL or me, he'll call you back. And the only reason I told him, you even call Tyler back. He pretends to be me.
Tyler's the same goddamn way, though.
I know. Tyler doesn't even.
He's the worst with the phone I've ever seen, to be honest.
He's a movie star or a TV star.
It's not even that. I think he's got, like, he's obviously a great operator.
Oh, my God,
and
dude, he's amazing.
Smart, super fucking smart guy. He's pretty much good at everything he does. But I think somewhere back in the back of his brain, he's got the attention span of, like, a fucking teenager.
Well, I think it's because he's a producer.
He's got so much shit going on.
Actor. And doesn't he do like...
He's also the fucking...
Like the...
he's the lead
advisor.
Advisor on the show.
I mean,
yeah.
He literally... He is SEAL Team. Like, you could get rid of all those other chintzy actors. I'm kidding. They're all great actors. I love the show.
Yeah.
But he is so multifaceted. He does so much. He was the same way when we did the selection, you know? Like, hey, maybe do it this... You know, like when we were talking like a little bit more here, you know, he gives really good direction. You know, like, and we took it. You know, he was, at first you're just like, what? And, you know, he would always say, Ray, slow down when you talk. You're so fucking passionate. You literally, you know, you almost sound like Mel Tillis. So I had to slow it down a little bit. But he gave some good advice. And Bert just would say, just stop fucking talking. You annoy me.
But I think we all have those friends who are terrible at phones. Like, one of my best friends is terrible at the phone. Coming back 3 days later, I was like, what the fuck were you? I know where you live, and I know what you're doing every day. He lives on a farm in Alabama. I was like, he goes, oh, man, I'm sorry. I just put my phone in the drawer because I turned it off. I didn't want to answer it.
But I think they only do that for select few. Like, I think Bert and Tyler talk all the time. I think any time that you guys call him, tell me, he'll probably pick up and call back.
It's 50-50. He calls back within a day or two, usually.
Me, it's been, you know, January, but hey, we're still waiting. But you know what? Fuck you. I don't mean, the thing is, you know what? He got the better end of the deal. He got to know me. I'm drinking. I'm getting drunk here. So fuck you, Burkoons.
Yeah,
my
let's get
favorite
him.
Part of this is how awkward you make Dan feel. That's every.
No, I think it's funny.
No,
because I can imagine if Bert was here right now, he would be laughing his ass off.
I would literally
like the
fight.
harder I talk shit to him, the funnier, or like the more he laughs at me. So I don't even know what that
means.
He's
the best, dude. I
but
love.
He is. Bert. All he tells me every time we talk, you're an idiot. That's all he ever says to me. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh my ass off.
I'm fat.
He calls me a piece of shit.
Every time I post a video with my shirt off, he tells me fat, which I know means you look amazing. I want you. You're sexy. I know what it means.
Actually, the caption in my Instagram profile, it says the biggest piece of shit you've never heard of. That came from Burkoons.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what he referred to me as the biggest piece of shit he's ever heard of. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, that's good. I'll write that down.
I will say this. Both you guys are fucking jacked in quarantine, which is crazy.
Let me ask you a question. Be honest to me.
Yeah.
Who do you think's more jacked? Be honest.
I haven't. No, I take that back. I did see Bert without his shirt on the other day. Is it weird? I know, because I know you work out all the time, that I think he's got you by just a little
bit right now. Stop.
Yeah.
Where did you see Bert without his shirt on?
Fuck.
Let's send everybody there to make some weird comments.
Exactly.
On
it was either Instagram or Facebook.
But the thing is, the only reason Bert's getting in shape is because I started this whole fucking, this trainer rolling. You know, he's like, oh, let me get in shape now. I remember when all you used to see him do is eat his fucking ice cream and do this. Then after that,
oh, you owe him 25 cents for doing the finger gun, by the
yes.
way.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. Yep. He trademarked it.
Well, guess what? One, two, three, I owe you a dollar. I owe you a dollar. And he was eating shitty all the time. But he really wasn't, because he eats good. And he trains hard.
He does. He fucking works out. He portrays.
See,
so that's Bert Kuntz is
a fake. He's a fake. You're a fake, Bert Kuntz. You're a fucking. You're yeah, right there. Sorry, you're a fake, and I'm calling.
Does that camera look at all like it's pointed at you?
No, it doesn't. Sorry.
Jesus, target discrimination. Let's.
I'm a little off right now.
So everything in those pictures, like when he's eating biscuits and gravy and all that shit, is not. It's not real.
No, he definitely eats that.
He's got a great metabolism. He's a fucking athlete.
Yeah, he is.
You know, and he's a genius, you know. Oh, I'm just, I hate people and this and that. It works, you know. He's crushing it. He's living his dream.
He is. He really is. And the thing with Bert and the phone, by the way, is like he's in the worst cell reception of all goddamn time. Yes, he will. It will take a while.
All right.
So he definitely does that. Whatever. But he did that. He did that on purpose.
Two more seconds about Bert, because we're here about me, not Bert. But obviously, this is where I have an issue with Bert. A couple days ago, I was going to come on here, and remember, I told you guys I was going to dress up for you guys. Mm-hmm. So I said, "Hey, Bert, I got a serious question. I need to know before I go if I'm going to ask to go on the podcast if I can do this." And he goes, "Sup, motherfucker, right? SUPMUTHFUCKR.
Yep.
So I immediately, soon, oh shit, Bert wrote, I write back. I want to do this, this, and this, and this. He sees it. Nothing. And everybody has a defense for him. Oh, he's in bad reception. Literally, within 3 seconds, he did not go from here to another state. He couldn't have walked that far. He just didn't care to respond. He's like you.
Yep.
Like, I personally, I always delete the address to come here just because when you text, every time he texts me the address now, it used to be like, hey, brother, I'm here. Now it's just like the number, S, street. There's nothing else. There's like no small talk. Because to me, it's just like, fuck you. You're driving me nuts. And I couldn't say.
You asked for info. I have fucking autism, bro. You asked me for information. I'm just going to give it
to you. But you have to be personable. I mean, I don't.
I've made a career out of not being personable. What the hell are you talking about?
Let's change. You know what? I'm sick of Bert Kuntz. Let's move on. I'm done with
you're Bert. You're just mad because of how much effort you have to put into being Ray.
And I know. I do. It's
I don't exhausting. Put any effort into being me.
You even matched today. So shut up. You got up and you matched.
And you magically also got thinner during quarantine. Like, what the fuck?
Why would I not be? Why would I be any? Why would I get fatter?
Because you don't work out. You never work out.
Every time I see you, you're drinking vodka.
Yeah.
Hey, this stuff will really help you cut the pounds. So, is that right? I'm not a doctor.
No.
It's actually one of the best liquors that you can drink because of the sugar.
Yeah,
the lack
sugar,
of sugar.
Yeah. It's like 45 calories.
Drinking is not good for you, says the guy drinking Jameson in a Coors Light. But
yeah, I mean, you're going hard here. So
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I also use Icon Meals now, thanks to you. So that helps out a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, is that your company, by the way?
No, it's not my company. It's actually Todd Abrams.
We just had it the other day.
He told me the amount of meals they're making per week, and I was like, holy
they're crushing
fucking
it.
Really?
Shit. Like hundreds of
and
thousands.
And I told him to hook you guys up. Hopefully hook you guys
we did.
Up.
Yeah.
The food
but he's
was
got
amazing.
So much more stuff like this.
I've got the chips and popcorn.
Who did I just give? Was it Tiffany?
I just had the popcorn last night.
Who did I give the? Didn't I just give you guys some spices?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got all spices. They got all that. You probably have more than fucking me.
I think it's just the same care package they send everybody.
No. Because and what I like about that too is you can design the meals.
Oh, well, he's making custom meals for me.
That's
now based
what you
on
want for your
shit,
macros.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you can really dial in your shit.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Ross's problem is he eats like a bird. He doesn't eat all day.
Yeah, I don't eat.
And
it
tricks your body into thinking, one, I don't need to build muscle, and two, that I need to hold on to every calorie that comes into my body because I'm not going to see food again for a while. That's what it does to your body. That's why you have like Like if you're having trouble losing weight around your midsection, mm-hmm. that's always why.
Yep.
Because you're not eating the right way. It's not, it has nothing to do with working out.
Well, since we have Ray on the show, one of the biggest fads right now is that's fasting diet, right?
Yeah.
And so it's intermittent fasting. Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at that, it's essentially like accidentally. That's just what I've always done because I only eat, you know, usually like a meal at dinner. I've tried to change that since, obviously, when you get older. But is that bullshit?
No, I think it helps. I mean, right now they're doing that fasting. It's like the couple days of fasting now, living
like,
off of just
like
water.
Monday, Tuesday, you don't eat anything.
Yeah, how I do it is I do roughly about a 12-hour fasting every night. My last meal is about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
But then before I go to bed, I'll have like a protein shake.
Yeah, you want to have something with casein protein late at night because it burns longer. It burns like 5 to 6 hours and it keeps you thermogenic overnight.
But yeah, he's asking me the questions, not you.
Well, I'm helping.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm
but
a color
no, he's
guy.
Absolutely right. And then when I get up in the morning, you know, like I'll give you an example. The first thing that a human being should do when they wake up after sleeping, if you sleep 4 hours or more, your body gets dehydrated.
Yeah, drink water.
Drink
eat
water.
Protein.
Drink water. What do most people do as soon as they get up?
They drink coffee.
That's the worst. That's the worst fucking thing you can
do. I don't drink coffee until like 11 a.m.
I drink
most days.
Anywhere from 16 to 30 ounces of water.
Before you have your coffee.
Before I make my coffee, yes.
Okay.
Yep. And if you want to lose weight, like something I always tell people to do, if you're really trying to lose weight.
Adderall, yeah.
No, Adderall. You got an Adderall sponsor? That's where I...
No, we wish.
Adderall would be the sponsor, I suppose.
Vicodin. But drink about 12 ounces of water before each meal, because what does it do? It fills your stomach up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eat your meals, you're going to eat less proportion, right? And then what I tell people is within 30 minutes, get out and create some type of movement. Walk. You know, do something. Walk in place.
It just trains your body to expect, like... to expel energy after you've consumed energy, basically.
Versus sitting on the couch pulling the fucking Al Bundy.
It's like,
right?
It's like leaving gas in a car for 30 years, essentially, because your body burns, your metabolism burns way faster than that.
And that's what's key right now. I mean, I've lost, give or take, you know, I went away and I put on about 3 more, but I'm losing about anywhere from 5 to 9 pounds, you know, with this whole corona bullshit. And, you know, I'm working out in a garage and I'm in better shape than I've been in a while just because... You know, my mindset, you know, we talked about the attack the hill, is I refuse to let this kind of shit dictate who I am. I'll give you an example, like mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mask when they first came out from the control of disease, whatever it was.
CDC, yeah.
Thank you. Was wear a mask if you have or you think you have the coronavirus, because it will lessen the chance of you spreading it. But now everybody wears a fucking mask, so I think everybody has the coronavirus. But if you don't wear a mask, because it doesn't... You can still get it. But I think that people should get tested who think they have it, even though I know we're having these negative and positive results. But just the people that know they have it wear the mask, or the people that have it, just stay the fuck in, and we won't have these issues.
We've never quarantined healthy people in the history of humanity.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
In all of human history, we've never done this.
My favorite is you know, like I said, I'm running out of ways to make money. Like, I know how to make money. You just turn on the fucking switch. And there's so many great American people, the whole planet... who is like, okay, don't work, I'm waiting for my check, and they're getting in trouble for doing what? For trying to provide for their family. I've never heard of that in the history. I mean, even when the Great Depression happened, people were doing anything they could to make money.
Right.
You know?
I think the good news about it is it's ending.
It is ending.
And even New York, you know, like I would have thought Cuomo would have hung on to this until the last gasp of, you know, to try to squeeze every last Democratic possible vote for, you know, obviously he wants to run for president at some point, probably next term.
Mm-hmm.
But even he got on and was just like, you know what, we're going to open up the state for all of sports starting in June. I want to see the Buffalo Bills. I want to see teams play. And that was one of the first blue Democrats I saw switch, you know, and New York was the worst.
It's because there's $4 billion franchises in that state, and they both called them, and whomever owns the goddamn the other New York team there that's worth $4 billion called him and said, hey, stop fucking around or you're not going to be the governor for much longer.
But that's the way it should be, right? Is all of big businesses who are in that state should say, hey man, if you fuck around too much, make that call and say I want shit opened up. Elon Musk was a perfect example.
I was just going to say it. Look at him. He's like, fuck you, California.
Yeah. Well, I respect him more than any of the other fucking big company CEOs right now. Yeah. And it's because he came out like, look, Tesla could shut down forever right now and he would still be a billionaire for the rest of his fucking life. He doesn't give two fucks about money. But it's about he took a stand and he put his career, his job, his livelihood, and his company that he started in jeopardy to make a point. Mm-hmm. And the point is just. I really respect him for doing that. I mean, that took a lot of fucking balls to do that.
And
shit.
Other people are doing it. Like, you know, the guy I work for, Bedros Koulian from Fit Body Bootcamp, mm-hmm. California. Mm-hmm. June 1st, we're opening them all up. Fuck you, Governor. We're opening them.
Yeah.
We're opening them.
You can't arrest us all.
You can't arrest us all. Just and the shit that, you know, you say things are going back to being normal, but they're not. Case in point, right? The wives, or whatever you're with, have been been cooped up for 8 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So my wife got her hair done, and she got her toes and nails done. Mm. She had to wear a fucking mask, and they put a screen up when she was getting her toes done. And I'm like, now I got nasty fucking toes. Is that for if you cut? What the hell is a screen going to do? And then when she got her hair done, she had to wear a mask, and she doesn't like shit around her face, unless it's me. Mm. They checked her temperature, mm-hmm. and like you can only have so many people in there. It's ridiculous. So they're turning things back on, but it's still not going to be normal. I mean, restaurants, 50% capacity. So literally, you're going to have to just you have to take reservations now. I kind of like it the way it is now. I just go and get my fucking food and come home.
I miss restaurants. And I can't wait to go back to them.
But I want to go back to a restaurant where I don't have to. There's still going to be the social distancing, I think. I talked to my friend who owns the P.F. Chang's, and he was like, if we open, we only go to 50% capacity, we're still not making the money we need to be making.
And not only that, but the waiters and waitresses
can't
make that money.
That's
either
because
they're not getting tips.
My
and
thing
so
is
it fucks over everyone.
I say open it back up, and the people that want to eat and take the chance and are healthy, just come in and eat. The people that don't.
And by the way, I want to apologize to the audience real quick because I was on my computer looking down. There is breaking news. Joe Rogan, his podcast, just signed exclusively with Spotify for audio and video, and it'll only be on audio and video as of December 31st this year.
September 1st, the audio is moving to Spotify only, and then at the end of the year,
correct,
all the video is getting removed completely from YouTube and then put only on Spotify.
Except for the Clips channel. The Clips channel will stay for Rogan. I don't know how much money that is, but I can tell you he was making $90 million before. They had to have backed up the truck. Wall Street Journal saying it was over $100 million. That's obvious. There is some questions here from a lot of people that are saying, did he get sick of the algorithms on YouTube? You know, that's the thing we deal with. We're shadow banned on this goddamn thing, and on YouTube, and we're trying to work our way out of it. We've hired a YouTube guy. We've had some controversial guests on the show. Alex Jones, Milo, Yiannopoulos, porn stars, you name it. We've had on the show, but we have them on because they're interesting people, not because we believe in everyone's views, but it's an interesting interview, and that's what this job is. I wonder if that was part of the factor for him where he was like, hey, because even with Rogan, I look at some of his videos and I'm like, man, I bet you they're probably more than 1 million views or 2 million views per thing. I bet you he's stuck in some form of algorithm too.
Well, I'm sure.
He will not be on Spotify, I can promise you that, and they're going to vault him up to the top of the charts. So it's interesting. And Dan, one of these parts of the deal here that I'm reading is it was the back catalog that he's licensed.
Yeah.
So
all of it.
All of it, man. Is going to switch over to Spotify. And good for him. I'm wondering if that will happen to someone else soon who hates iTunes and YouTube.
It's going to have a big effect on Google's search engine optimization when it comes to podcasts, which is the new media, right?
Correct.
So TV shows are slowly dwindling, at least with regard to networks. There's some that are still hanging on. Actually, some of our friends are doing some that are still hanging on. But for the most part, Hollywood is losing their grip that they've had on this entertainment industry for a long time. And there's no better way now to get entertainment out quickly and without a lot of bullshit than this format.
Yeah.
And Google's boxing themselves out of it now by letting their biggest fucking star leave. It's like, I don't know what a fucking analogy for it would be. It would be like if the cast of Friends left Friends in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that. There's plenty of shit on YouTube. I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But if this works for them and their stock prices go up high enough and they're able to secure funding to start bringing way more other shows over there, like if they could just say, like, we have a market share of 20% of the most popular podcasts on earth, then they take a huge percentage of that revenue, first of all. And secondly, they take a huge percentage of the search engine optimization, which all of us out here in the marketing world use for that shit.
They didn't call because, me. I just checked. I was seeing if they texted me for my podcast.
Yeah, they haven't texted you. Yeah.
I'm sure they're just getting to me.
No, they will. They will. Man, that is a monstrous deal. It's and I, look, I'm sick of the fucking algorithms and shit on YouTube. Looking back at his show now and thinking about it since it just went down, there's a lot of the tricks that he used, like in clips and stuff, with this fucking green box around the. Alec, you do it for us, and Owen does as well, with clips and things like that, where you're putting a green line around a person or a thing to make it pop. You know, we have Ibby does our thumbnails that are sexy and all this other bullshit. It's like, I don't understand. Our show has like 9.2 million listeners. So what the fuck? Why do I have to do this goddamn song and dance for YouTube for this type of content? Whereas, and it, clearly Rogan had to do it too, because we were using the same tricks as he was to get around it. This could be a big game changer as far as like, there hasn't been a video network that has tried to take on a YouTube before in the past. Vimeo, who you properly pronounced earlier, tried to. And they've been trying for years. And they have the best quality video, I will say. But nobody uses fucking Vimeo because it's impossible. And the whole page and search options are bullshit on there. But this is a big jump, man. And everybody's talking about this right now. So, I mean, even on this, hit the like button if you are watching right now, because you can't beat these fucking algorithms for this stupid shit, like with the shadow ban on it. And me, like, and Dan have already had this conversation. We're not going to sacrifice interesting guests for what YouTube deems, well, that's that person's offensive or whatever. It's like, no, dude, we're going to keep having the same guests.
Yeah, so if somebody like Spotify doesn't care, we will absolutely move all of our videos over there.
Yeah.
Like, fuck YouTube, man. If they're going to be bitches about everything, and it's not just about crude humor and stuff, it's also like, they've taken a very clear political stance, which is weird to me. If you're like a user-generated content machine, when you take a political stance, basically you're crowdsourcing fucking a 501c3. That's essentially what you're doing. That's fucked up. Plus, you're not paying federal fucking taxes.
Yeah.
Fuck you, YouTube.
Yeah.
And Google in general.
So I'm in the same camp as Dan, and I had a conversation with Spotify maybe 4 or 5 months ago. And if you're listening right now, we're absolutely open to talking to you as well, because their interface is easier than iTunes, I think. I enjoy their platform more. And their video quality, a friend of mine's on The Daily Show, and their clips are crystal clear on there. They're great. With YouTube, it's a fucking guessing game, dude. So we're down. Give us a jangle. We're not promoted by Spotify yet, but after reading this, God damn it, I'd love to be.
I mean, I wonder what they spent on that, because they gave Bill Simmons $190 million. I can't imagine what they gave Joe Rogan, because he's got to have 10 times the audience.
That's the top guy. And he was one of the people, like, because there's been some jokes in the past from listeners who have been like, man, you guys love Rogan. We do enjoy Rogan, and he's rad. But he also set the standard kind of in the podcast space for talking the way we talk and doing the shit we do and knowing that there's an audience for it. Yeah. Like, you know, the other guys that before him, like Adam Carolla, is typically listed as like the godfather of podcasting. Like, I enjoy Adam Carolla, but not the way I enjoy Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Mark Maron was a big one too, but I enjoyed the guest on Mark Maron before I enjoyed, you know, Mark Maron himself.
I'm a big fan of Mark Maron, but he was one of the first guys to do the interview format. Like, he and Rogan were the first two to do the interview format on podcasts.
That I can remember.
They're
at least,
both really fucking good at it, too.
Yeah.
RIP to his wife, by the way.
I'm still waiting for Rogan
to call.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I don't know if Rogan's ready for, because I would bring it.
Let me ask you this. We were talking about it before we went on air, about him being the White Oprah. I didn't see this deal, obviously. We're seeing it live on air now. But
the White Oprah. Love it.
It is.
It is.
He's become the White Oprah. He's the beast. When you're on there, he changes lives.
Yeah.
There is guys that have done what you do as a profession.
Yeah.
David Goggins.
Yep.
And it is
Pat McNamara.
Pat.
Completely Jocko. Changed their lives.
Yep.
They're instant number one bestsellers overnight. Yep. Same thing that Oprah did for all of her guests. Anybody, any author that was on there was number one overnight. They are selling massive amounts of products, energy drinks, you name it, across the board because they were on Rogan. Do you look at that and say, motherfucker, I want my shot as well?
Yeah, you know, I'd like my shot at Rogan. I just think I'd blow his mind. You know, I mean, I see a lot of the guests that go on there, and I like them all, but they're very one-dimensional. They only bring one thing to the table. You know, I mean, I'm a hard ass. But I don't think that's what really, that's kind of a high, like that motivational high, but that's not what people really do.
Do you think that's equivalent of a girl who only posts pictures of her looking perfect on Instagram?
Yeah, perfect. You know what I mean? My thing is, you know, I want to go on the, I'd go on the Rogan show and tell them about all my fuck ups, you know, all the times that I've fallen down. I mean, you know, the success being here, like if I could sit down with Joe Rogan, I'd like to hear about how he got there. I actually met Joe Rogan years and years ago after a fight. He was with a couple guys and we just met at Denny's and I got a picture with him, but you know, he ain't gonna fucking run over me. But I'd like to get on that story and tell about, you know, how you've overcome and conquered. Not about how fucking awesome I was as a SEAL, but how about all the pain that you had to go through to grind. Because the people that I get on there, I just see them, you know, kick ass, take names. That's great, but that's not real world. That's not what most people do, you know?
But
I want my fucking shot. You know, and the thing is what I say is record it, Joe. If you don't like it, fuck it. You know, delete it. It's okay.
Right.
But give me a shot because I'll blow his fucking mind.
When you're doing, because this is the first time Dan and I have done five days a week, Monday through Friday like this. I actually enjoy it because we did it for the quarantines, obviously, because everybody's out there needs content and Hollywood is shut down. We actually love to do it. Rogan does it.
Yeah.
But we also know now at this point, I think we're 2 months into this, Dan and I, that's... you need guests.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're a great guest on everything. Like our audience loves you. So you're always, hey, have a standing invitation here.
I'll be here tomorrow. Okay.
And look, you're welcome to it. But he needs guests. So it's like, why not expand and go after good, put fucking Ray Cashcare on.
Yeah, man. Why not? Fuck. I'll give you guys a plug. Hey, you know,
it'd be great.
You want me, you got to have Drinking Bros.
No, you know, oddly enough, like I don't have that. Like, I would love to just chat with him in person.
Yeah.
But I enjoy doing the show and vice versa and everything. And I think if something was big enough, then, yeah, I'd like to go on. But right now, I just like to chat with him in person. I remember when for Matt's book, I was shocked that Matt didn't go on there. Like, he drinks Black Rifle Coffee all the goddamn time, and it didn't make any sense.
I mean, I'm not at the level of Matt, but Matt brings a lot to the table. You know, he's a goofball, right? He's tactically sound, but he's also, what a lot of people don't know, he's really fucking smart. He's a really intelligent guy. And I think just that's a lot for even a host at that level to deal with, because the guys that I see going there, it's like they're really good at one fucking thing. Matt's good at a whole lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've been overseas with him and seen he's tactically sound, post him being a Ranger. You know, he's a genius. His book's great. You know, I don't know what his deal is with Black Rifle Coffee, but he makes a gazillion dollars doing that. You know, he's a family man. That is the whole package. And the guys that I see, I mean, I've watched the Joe Rogan show, and I'm not just talking about the team guys. I'm not just, because I'm not digging. I love Jocko. I love all those guys that are doing it. But the guys that I see, they're good at just this, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing. But, you know, like I said, Matt brings a lot to the table. Maybe it's too much to cover. You know what I mean? Like,
he does 3 hour shows, for Christ's sakes. You're good.
I know, man. I mean, I could tell you my whole fucking life in an hour and 15 minutes. But I've never been asked to be on Jocko's show. You know, Redman.
Really?
Yeah, Redman was on it. Mitch was on it. I'm like, I've got more followings, not than Mitch, but then Jason. And, you know, he's the co-host of my show. We love it.
Where are you based out of right now?
We're out of Virginia Beach.
And are you staying there?
Yeah, I stay there.
Okay.
When I'm not in California doing a lot of my courses and my...
But you're going to stay there for the long haul, or...?
Eventually, the boss wants me to eventually move out to either California, which I don't want to do, but I'm trying to get him to pull the Elon Musk and pull the trigger on moving his huge corporation to Arizona and or Texas.
Yeah.
And fuck yeah,
Austin.
Man.
Austin, yeah.
So...
Because Dakota's out there, Meyer.
Yeah.
You'd be great on his show.
I'd love... Bring it, Dakota! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bring it!
He's on our network, so we'll make it happen.
Sorry, I'm like...
Yeah, yeah. You're finally pointing to the right camera.
Let me give Dakota my 1,000-yard stare.
There it is.
I don't know if that's going to work.
It looks real good.
There it is. Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, it looks like a 40-yard stare.
All right, I'm switching to whiskey.
We got some sponsors who put this whole fucking shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, talking about ghostbed.com/drinking bros. That 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, is one of the very best in the business. And it look, when you couple that with a 25% off everything in the store sale, can you get much better than that? No, you can't. If you order a mattress right now, you get 2 free pillows with that. The pillows are just as goddamn good as the mattress. I can promise you that. I got 90 of those goddamn things in my house. I love them. I wish they made one of those giant body ones where you could just lay on backwards, jack off all over yourself and let it
dry.
I
usually paint a face on them.
Yeah, let it dry. You got to let it dry and then scrape it off.
Put like a helmet on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go, you know, full retard.
You ever put glue on your hand as a kid and let it dry and then peel it off?
No, I just don't know how we did this. We went from this incredible ad, you were busting it out, to we threw three GDs in there to I'm going to jerk off all over the pillow.
GD.
Gosh darn.
No. Do you not say goddamn?
I'm not. My wife gets on me. I love saying it, but I can't because Trish gets on me. And Lily, she...
Well, she's not here, and I don't think she's watching this show.
No. Is she super religious?
No, she's just trying to make me... But goddamn it. She's trying to make me... She's just trying to make me a better person.
That's...
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I still have the...
That's a
stuff
waste of time.
So is Kanye West.
Trying to make you a better person is just...
Kanye West. Just go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. That'll make you a better person. At least it'll help you sleep better. Next up, we got KillCliffCBD.com. I love KillCliff. Are you a big KillCliff guy?
I like it. I don't know if they like me. I think I was told I was.
You think everyone doesn't like you? Everyone loves you. It's all in your mind.
I told you. We've already had the story. I can't disclose it. But I was told I was too savage. I was told 3 years ago I was too savage for KillCliff.
I think we need to check back in because
new employees. I mean, and they got
what's
people.
His name? Josh Bridges. Josh. He's a little fucking savage, man. He's
there's new people.
He's shorter than me.
Josh Bridges, he looks like, what's the guy's name that played Thanos? Josh something?
Oh, Josh Brolin.
He looks like a very smaller.
He's like a buff Pepe Le Pew with that little thing he's got going. I mean, I'm even doing it now.
He's got a real Josh Brolin look to him, though.
No, you'd be great together. I know those guys at a Falcons game. They're the fucking best. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of KillCliff anyways.
They are good, though. I tried one of these before, and these, I will give you this. These are the CBD.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually tried one.
Do you need
these.
Your reading glasses to see what's on the front.
You. You know, I'm going to drink this now.
I don't give a shit.
Go to KillCliffCBD.com today. 25 milligrams in every single can.
It's actually
can.
Really good with vodka.
Promo code. It's great with vodka. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 20% off and free shipping. The grape is my favorite. I think you're drinking the orange Kush right now. Yeah. It's great. No THC, so you won't piss hot. That is guaranteed. KillCliff is the only brand you can touch. Trust in that space. So go to KillCliffCBD.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off and free shipping. Last but definitely not least, talking about expressvpn.com/drinking bros. Do you have a VPN?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
You have to have one, right? It's mandatory.
You have to. With all the porn and stuff, yes, you have to.
Yes.
Because overseas, when you have it, it won't pull up the site unless you have a VPN.
Yeah. Tell everybody why you should get expressvpn.com/drinkingbros. What's the big deal about a VPN?
It doesn't showcase where you are, so it doesn't put the input. So like with my VPN, like if I'm overseas, they can't hone in on where I am. So I shift the focus back to like a different state. So it's good for being able to expose your information and knowing where you are and access information. It's a much more secure way of getting on the internet, especially if you don't want, like if you're paying bills and things like that, it's a must. Yeah. I mean, everybody in our family has
VPN stands for virtual private network.
Thank you.
Essentially, what it does is it puts a wall around you. It's like if you ever went to LAN parties as a kid and played video games on old PC computers and shit like that, when you just hook your cables into each other and play like that, that's essentially what it does. And then you have like an external network.
Yeah.
And everything in the bubble is protected. That's what it does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple.
Yeah, and it's $7 a month, seamless app that runs in the background of all of your electronic devices. With expressvpn.com/drinkingbros, you get 3 free months out of the year. So you're only paying for 9, which is great. And then since we were talking about it earlier, boner pills, getroman.com/drinkingbros. We were talking about the guys in porn.
Yeah.
And the guy lying. I agree with Dan. If you can take boner pills like Roman, why not?
I take them.
Fuck yeah. Just recreationally.
I take them in the morning.
Just so he's alive all day.
It's okay.
He's got his own secret all day.
You take two of those things like within like when it's go time or take some Comagra. You'll have a headache, and every time you're pumping, it's like, ow, 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 because that's what it feels like.
Well, there's no headaches on this.
Yeah, like, no, I know.
Viagra was the worst shit.
Like, yes.
Goddamn. There's a reason why Roman's overtaking him, and everybody was asking. They were like, dude, I see your sponsor on, like, UFC and everything. I was like, well, they're a massive company.
Yeah.
They just happen to be on our show, but, yeah, dude, it's... You don't have to see a doctor in real life, nothing. They just ship it to your house, discreet packaging. Comes in the mail. free shipping. You don't say shit. Yeah, you answer a 5-questionnaire and that's it. Go to GetRoman.com/drinking bros today. Get that motherfucking boner on, son. What, dude? Why are you shocked by that?
Ultimate Soldier Competition. That's a show you were on.
Yes.
Scott Lopez is one of our fans, and he DM'd me about that. You want to explain yourself?
Well, what did he ask?
I don't know.
What is that? Explain it to me, because I haven't seen it.
Ultimate Soldier Challenge? Mm-hmm. That was a show where special forces of different groups all over the world challenge each other. Actually, Timmy Kennedy was on representing SF.
Oh, shit.
So I was one episode. I went against the Spetsnaz and the contractors, and we won. And then Timmy went against, I can't remember, but they won too. So it's literally, it was just a competition where, you know, at the time I was 40 and my partner was 50. We had to break it off and do kill house work.
Mm-hmm.
So the first two, Rob Roy, one of the very few black Navy SEALs, the Snowbro monster from SEAL Team 6.
Yeah.
Him and one of the Spetsnaz tied. So me and the other guy had to go. And then it ended up, we had to go against the contractors. And literally what it ended up being was we ran down a mountain, did a quick DA, a direct action. Mm. I threw a 60-pound dummy over my shoulder. My partner was smoked, and I just ran it back up the mountain, and we won. And then after that, what made it so cool is one of the contractors, they were 23 and 28. One went down from heat exposure, so I got way ahead. I went up and won. My buddy went over and helped him, and then I grabbed some water and went back down. Because, you know, we leave no man behind. It's a show.
Sure.
But no shit, he was shit in the bed. It was like 110, 115 degrees out. Ooh,
core temp.
Oh, and Mac, before Mac died, the SEAL, Makowicz. Mm-hmm. Literally, you know, they were like, you can't go down there. That's going to kill the show. And we were like, fuck you, man. You know, this is because we're really putting out. You know, when you do these shows, I know it's people want to have, you know, you want to get a name for yourself.
Makowicz is the guy from Future Weapons.
Yes.
All those shows.
He passed away from he had the issues with the brain. Mm-hmm. He was a great guy. I knew him when he was at SEAL Team 2. And, you know, he was the host and he said, fuck it, go. Because I was like, Mac, we can't leave him down. And they were like, he's not on your team. And I'm like, no, man, we are one team. So we went down, we got him. And at the end of that show, when we won it, they actually was a big thing. He said, not only did that man win, but he went back down to go get me. And I think that's just about the spirit of, you know, camaraderie and what we do. You know what I mean? It's, yeah, we're going against each other. But when a fucking one of your brothers is down, you're going to go, you know, the show went out the door. Like, fuck this show.
Sure.
We're going down to get him. And that's, I know they would have done, I hope they would have done that for me, you know? And it was good.
Because when you watch these shows, I know the Hollywood aspect of it, and you're like, all right, well, how brutal is it? How tough is it? Are the conditions real?
Tell you for the selection, what you saw, it was fucking brutal.
Was it really? So everything you saw was exactly...
Exactly. We didn't cut. We didn't edit. We didn't do shit. It was, they pulled what they wanted out of it, but we didn't cut and retake. Nothing. That was the only time I've ever done that.
No shit.
Not one retake. They just like when I did episode 7, the integrity issue, I literally told them, someone will fuck up. And literally the producer, or the head guy, the showrunner, Grant, said, are you sure? I'm like, he's like, dude, you understand this is a whole episode. We're direct. I'm like, someone will fuck up. And he believed me and it happened. Now, if they wouldn't have, I don't know what would have happened. Maybe Tyler would have had a much bigger scene in 8 with his part of his, his land nav course for what he used to do. We'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And it might have been a bigger episode, but I knew that someone would fuck up. But it was, that is the most, and I actually, that is the realest, most purest thing I've done on TV. And I think that's why we won't have a season 2.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question, actually. It was, after you were on last week, everybody was like, dude, well, I don't understand why there isn't another season with him and Bert. Like, especially with where you guys are at now in your life.
I think it was on the wrong network. If that would have been on an ABC or, you know, like we would have been slotted, you know, like we're not taking a place because I love SEAL Team. Where SEAL Team was, fuck yeah. You know, like a Stars and Stripes, something like that.
Sure.
We would have went.
I mean, it seems like it would be a good companion show to like The Biggest Loser or something
that. You know I think it would be, you know, and the thing is, but what I loved about it is we went in there, you know, the instructors, and we didn't even, like, I never met Bert before. I never knew of Bert or any of those guys. I heard of Marcus Capone before because of his time over at SEAL Team 6, Dev Group. And I heard of Sean Haggerty because he was a Buds instructor. That was it. We just met. We got along. But we stuck our grounds to shit, you know. Like, it was awesome because we went in there and we told them what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did it. And they gave us kind of like, you know, I mean, obviously tweak this and tweak that, but they gave us a lot of creative leeway. And that's what I liked about it. And we could, and the thing is you could call these guys up now. I know it'd be tough with Bert and Tyler's schedule, but we could do it again like that. I mean, right now, let's go, give us a budget, and we'll make it work. And we can do it with nothing.
Mm.
Why is that the SEAL team community so close-knit? How many people go through a year? Because it, I feel like every single one of you guys knows each other.
Yeah, but that's not always good. I think they say at any given
time. A lot of you guys butt heads, too.
Like, yeah, we do.
And there's people who hate each other, where it's just like, ah.
You know, the thing
you is, so-and-so on, I fucking
I
hate
try him. Not to hate anybody. I know, listen, you either love me or you hate me, and that's it. And I used to, like, we have a official Facebook group, and I got off that because when I did the show, people were like, you fucking sell out, you this. And I was just like, you know what? You can't make everybody happy.
No.
You know, I don't go around saying I'm a war hero because I wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't go around, you know, the Ray Cash Care former Navy SEAL thing was given to me by Bob Pittman when I worked for the founder of MTV, and I just kind of ran with it.
Right.
But I don't post tridents and shit all over I don't. I just don't do it. And when people ask me questions, I'll talk to them about buds, but nothing else. But we are a small-knit community. There's only about 2,500 of us active at one time. I think in the history, there's only been, I think now it's like 14,000. It's not that many.
Oh, it's small. So, I didn't know.
You know, so we're crossing dick streams a lot, you know, with each other, both in and out. Like after this, I'm going to go meet up with Chris McKinley, who was a SEAL PA, the guy that got shot and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Good dude. So... Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing. I don't know. How is the community with the Army and all that? Is it bigger?
I mean, I was in the 82nd Airborne, so
yeah,
it was
But you guys, I mean, do you guys deal with the same thing? You know, you love me or hate me, and was it competitive? And
It's very competitive, yeah. And there's, you know, like Derek White was in my unit. Mm-hmm. So he's always been a competitive guy, but in general, yeah, it's pretty competitive, but it's more like... and. People at home know this, the bigger element you're a part of, the more bullshit you deal with.
Yeah.
Like there's all kinds of assholes running around. There's levels and levels of middle management that are incompetent for the most part. So it's like, not
you
great.
Can't make everybody happy. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the thing. I stopped with that shit, you know, cause like I used to worry, like when we did the show, The Selection, I think we represented our communities, each and every one of us, even the ones that didn't talk about what other communities they were in, to the best they could. I thought it was done well. It was very well articulated and done. We didn't beat our chest. So it was done right, you know. And that was the only time where we have our NEC is 5326 or 5323, depending on if you're SWV operator. But the 5326, which is the Navy SEALs, two guys, and they were douchebags, got on me about that. Like, you fucking sell out. And they were shitty SEALs. Like, they weren't great operators. Not that I was, but I mean, they sucked. And a whole bunch of other SEALs actually stepped up and said, hey, bro, he actually did a good job.
Yeah.
That was cool. But after that, it was time I parted ways from that and was just like, you know, as long as I'm not exposing. And if I ever do have a question, I actually will reach out to the Navy SEAL Foundation. Mm. Is this okay? Like, I have a book that I'm writing right now, not about being a Navy SEAL, but about all my fuck ups. But I was told you got to put a trident on it. And I'm like, got to put a trident on it. So, you know, I'm reaching out.
You know, Chesney's getting sued right now, essentially by the Navy, to take the trident off his book.
Yes. So I won't put it on without permission. But if you ask, like Jason Redman asked, Marcus Luttrell asked, you know, ask for permission.
I think it's weird that they chose to fucking draw a line in the sand with Will, who's like he's the nicest human being that's a murderer on earth.
Yeah,
like honestly, he's like the nicest. I don't, maybe it's the publishers or some shit. I don't know.
I'm not sure how that happened. Yeah, he's like, a good dude. He's
the best Department of Defense. So the deal is like if you're willing to wait through it and go through it, but it takes fucking forever.
Yeah.
And so by the time you finish writing your book and you're all excited about it and awesome, and you ship it off to the Department of Defense, you don't know how long it will sit there for. Matt's was 17 months.
Really?
And I had to email every day like fucking Andy Dufresne on a Friday. I sent one letter to get books from the library, essentially, you know, like in Shawshank. And you send an email a day. And then finally, there is one lawyer who represents people from the military trying to write books, getting it through the DOD.
Yeah.
They usually end up making the call and then they'll get it through right away. But it's a bitch and you have to pay that as well. So I think that's part of it where you're like, fuck it. I would rather get it out there, risk a lawsuit. But just know this, if you are out there and you're thinking about doing it, And you think, maybe this book will skate through and they won't sue me. No, they absolutely will. Yes.
They'll get you.
So whatever your decision is with that, my recommendation is go through the proper channels if you don't want to get sued. Otherwise, expect that lawsuit, and it'll probably be for what your advance is.
Yeah.
They're not going to try to take you to the cleaners, but they're going to make sure you don't make a fucking cent off that book. Yeah. So that's my thing.
Roger that.
But when I see, like, American Ninja Warrior on, by the way, to backtrack a little bit, when I see American Ninja Warrior on, your show is way better than that goddamn thing. I would rather see that on a primetime
network. And the thing is, we could do that over and over again. You do it with groups. I mean, I was even talking, you could do it with prison, anything. You can use it for rehabilitation, you know? Mm-hmm. You could do it, obviously, you'd have to have maybe some leashes or so if they shock them. But, you know, make people go through this. You could do this nationwide. And one of the shows that I may be doing that might be I can't talk about right now is where I'm going to be utilizing my, you know, if it goes, my talents with doing that. You know, challenging people mentally, physically, emotionally, you know, it's, that's what people want to see. You know, I want to see people break down and I want to see people fucking tired. And I want to see, like I said, you see me doing these workout videos and stuff I do. Mm-hmm. They're not sexy. I don't edit. I just, cause I don't have time to edit right now. We're going through a pandemic. It's here's a bucket, fill it up with some shit and let's go to work. That's, you know, let's create movement. Cause if you're creating movement, you're moving and let's move that needle in the right direction. You know, that's what I'm trying to do with everything. But we'll see.
Yeah. Look, man, you're one of our favorites, and we always wish you the best.
Thank
so, like,
you.
Fuck, you've been on a million times. We love you. Let's get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, shall we? This was submitted by Andy Reinhart from Wisconsin, member of Drinking Bros. He was very specific on this one. Since May 27th of 2016.
That's a weird number.
That's a weird, I mean, shit, what is that? 2 days ago? That's almost 4 years.
May 27th.
I don't know why you remember.
May 27th?
No. Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's a week from now.
It's quarantine, yeah. So, fuck you, dude. I don't know what day it is. They all feel the same. May 27th, 2016. He's been a member since. It's very specific. Maybe we'll get to that. He's nominating Brian Pfluger. That's a soft P, the beginning of Pfluger. Reason for nomination is, hey, guys, Brian and I met in AIT. In Fort Sam Houston in December 2006 and got to be good friends pretty quick. He's one of the few people I made sure to keep in contact with, and we talked to each other regularly throughout the years. He was working as a deputy for San Jacinto County in Texas until he was involved in an accident while responding to a call a few days before Christmas in 2019. He ended up passing away from his injuries. He left a wife and a young son. Brian was one of the best people I ever met and the classic example of a good old boy from Texas. He's also the reason I can say I've been pepper sprayed by a cop after a bar fight in Abilene. Now, that was a good night. He says in parentheses, I know he would be humbly honored to receive this recognition. Keep up the great work, guys. We love the show. Cheers. Thank you very much, man. Cheers. Cheers to him. Cheers to Andy and Brian Pfluger. Ray, where can everybody find you? Tell us the name of your podcast again.
Yeah, guys, my podcast with the co-host of Jason Redman, Overcome and Conquer Show. We're on pretty much every media platform there is. Actually, you were helping with that early because I don't know shit about that.
Yep.
So you can follow me at Ray Cash Care. That's on Instagram and or Facebook at my Ray Cash Care. Former Navy SEAL, that's that little blue check thing, whatever that means, I'm verified or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're the main ways that you can hit me up, you know, and you can hit me up for, you know, if you want to be a guest on the show, give me a great story. If you're looking for coaching or you want me to come work with you or your team, hit me up, DM me, send me a smoke signal, and I'll come. I'll send the bat signal, and here I come.
Yeah, we appreciate the food from Icon, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
That's fantastic.
Hey, I love
fantastic.
Helping you guys
Who makes
out.
That watch?
This is a Bell & Ross.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Did you get that for free?
No.
I was gonna say, hook it up.
If
dude.
I could, yeah, I do have a watch company that I do stuff with. They're called NFW.
Mm-hmm.
Nice fucking watches.
That's a goddamn nice watch.
But
right
yeah, this was my wedding present for my wife.
Was
so,
it really?
Yeah. So I.
She's got good taste.
She does.
It's a great.
She still
watch.
Won. She got the better end of the deal with the ring, but yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen the ring. I've seen the watch. The watch
yeah.
is great.
Yeah.
Tell her what's up on the watch. That's
I will.
Great.
I will.
That's awesome.
We can work some magic.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Ray, you've got it. Look, you've got a standing invitation anytime you want to come back here. You're one of our very favorites. So
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you stopping in today. Check them out on Drinking Broettes podcast as well. It should be up in the next a couple days or week or I don't know what their schedule is exactly. Those girls are huge.
Yeah, they're doing they're amazing. They I mean they're a lot better than you guys. I'm kidding.
Yes, no, I get but it. No, it's my wife. She's
different
rad.
Different side. You know, different topics. It was really.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they really know how to extract information from you.
Caller Daddy just got nuked off of Barstool, and they're looking for a couple fill-ins. Yeah. Somebody there was a drinking bro that made a cutout of them with the Caller Daddy faces in it.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. I saw that actually. I was just looking at it.
Yeah, Dave Portnoy went scorched earth on those girls, and it's been the funniest troll of all time. Big fan of Barstool.
Yeah, he was
Sports.
Not kind. I mean, he published their salaries. All the negotiation process, which really makes both of those girls look like assholes.
In a time like this, absolutely. Their salaries were monstrous. They were each getting $500,000 apiece a year. And they were only doing one show a week.
Plus bonuses.
Plus bonuses, merch, all this stuff. They were doing one show a week. And I'm like, my God, man. So, yeah, he went scorched earth and it was really funny.
Boom.
Yeah. For D'Anthony, D'Anthony Holloway, Ray Cashcare, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everybody.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.